Success AF, Customer Success Podcast Series. We heard your feedback, and in Series 3, we are going to double-click on some of the key skills needed to excel in customer success. We will continue to bring you short, insightful discussions and interviews, and consider where cultural nuances may introduce a different perspective. I am JD.
And this is Elena.
In this episode, we'll discuss customer orientation and how it leads to effective customer success, why customer orientation is important, and how it has become a rhetoric for business growth. Today, we also have a special guest, Yovana. Yovana is currently Head of Customer Success for Asia Pacific at Blue Prism. Hey, Yovana.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me.
Yovana, welcome to joining us from Vienna. How is the new customer travel experience?
We're back at being, I think, at semi-normal. I love it. It really feels like the biggest problem we are back at having is having screaming kids at the flight, right? which is a good problem to have comparing to what we had a year back. So it was quite nice actually flying from Singapore through Istanbul to Vienna. A lot of people, full flights. It really feels good to have everyone kind of moving around. But also I feel like the airlines, they just kind of figured how to make this easier for all of us in a post-COVID world. So they adapted quite nicely to this new normal. And feels pretty good to be back on the road. Yeah.
Excellent. It must be easier for them as well, having less worry about just admin and rigor and doing the right things.
I think so, absolutely. And I think just streamlining border controls and them understanding how they can focus on just providing good, again, customer experience during flights and which is basically what they knew how to do before COVID is a huge relief for everyone. So apart from doing the basics, and that is getting us from A to B, they're also doing a pretty decent job at keeping us happy along the way. So yeah, good to see that again.
Yeah, good to hear you had an amazing experience and you're joining us from Europe. Hope you enjoy your stay there. And thank you once again for joining us to talk about customer orientation and customer experience. In your capacity, I think it will be really valuable for our discussions today. But I did just want to kick it off and, you know, talk a bit about the topic of interest today. What is customer orientation and is exceeding expectations consistently sustainable? And a study most recently I've read about by Matthew Dixon, who's a business researcher and best-selling author of The Challenger Sale, back when he was what is now Gartner, talking about how the dazzle factor is wildly overrated. And I do agree, right? It simply doesn't predict repeat sales, share of wallet, positive word of mouth. But in fact, the reality is that loyalty is driven by how well a company delivers on its basic promises and solves day-to-day problems. I don't think it's on how spectacular its service experience might be. Most customers don't want to be wowed. I think they want an effortless experience, which is, while we're talking about travel, that's the whole idea right now, getting from A to B effortlessly. And they're far more likely to punish you for bad service than to reward you for good service. I would also like to say that, I read from a blog from HubSpot that talking about customer centricity, and it says that it is a way of doing business that fosters positive customer experience at every stage of the customer journey. And I would like eventually later on you hear Yovana talking about a bit more on this insight and how it continues to build customer loyalty and satisfaction will lead to referrals for more customers, second order revenue, right? At any time a customer-centric business makes a decision, I do think that it deeply considers the effect the outcome will have on its customers. What do you think, Elena?
You know, I think there's an important word there, which is fosters a positive customer experience. And I think that's where you get that distinction between amazing and effortless. And a great example of that is I was recently on a panel with a chief security officer from one of our crypto customers. And we were talking about a very common process nowadays is KYC or know your customer. Nobody's expecting to be wowed, but they do want it to be effortless.
I do agree. So after talking so much between Elena and myself, we would, of course, like Yovana to chime in a little bit. What do you think customer orientation is about? And how do we then continue to build on that as a customer success professional?
I think it's a really interesting and exciting topic, and I think it's changing quite a lot. I think we need to go back and look at it holistically in a way and just try to define what it really means. And I feel like customer orientation is really just a summary of all the experiences your customers can get across all the touch points with you, plus all the outcomes that your product achieves for their business, for them, right? And that summation of experiences, it's a lot of things, right? It is an interaction with your salesperson. It is the use of your product, exchange with your support team, call with your CSM. But it is also about like customers paying their bills or interacting with your marketing team for reference calls. So it's not just a responsibility of customer success. It is really a responsibility of the whole company. And then the second part I mentioned, the part about outcomes, it is really the value that a client is receiving from your product or a service. It is really a return on investment from their purchase. And it could be a lot of different things. It could obviously be a cost reduction, revenue increase, strengthening their customer satisfaction. There are many, many different things that your customer may care about. But I think the most important thing here is that the clients, they expect that you take responsibility and an ownership for the outcome they want to achieve in using your product, not just ensuring that your product works. And I think it's a big change in a mindset. And with that, your CSMs, they need to become trusted advisors who can confidently drive these outcomes for your customer business. Now, that's a definition. I think that's a little bit more theoretical. I want to get practical with this explanation because I believe that you have an audience of people listening in, and they work for startups and for late stage companies. And I think it's important to look at this from perspective of how the whole thing changes from the very beginning of the journey. When you work for an early stage company where customer orientation is somewhat logical and easy to see, in order for your business to really survive day by day, you need to find a product that works for the market, for your customer. You need to solve for very specific existing pain that your customer has. So it is really that at this stage, you're building your product with the customer and for the customer. And that it makes it so inherently easy to understand the whole concept of customer orientation. Now things get a little bit messy and harder really once the product market fit is proven, and the companies naturally tend to grow and expand their efforts, and they want to ensure that they can build robust operations and really to scale efficiently. But if they didn't get to build in that, well, really a customer at the center of everything they do, it is so easy to get distracted and let other goals like organizational growth or revenue focus to grow stronger and really overtake as the North Star for the entire business. From everything we know, being in customer success, we know that's really wrong and counterintuitive, because to build longstanding and successful businesses, the single best thing that we can all do is really to double down on serving your customer needs. And that obviously means a lot of different things. It means that you need to constantly be checking if you're serving right customers and if you're solving for right problems, because both of these things may change over time. And it also means that you need to be ready to hear the answer and also to be flexible enough to actually recalibrate your approach based on what your customers truly need. You didn't go in what you need to have is a concentrated, consistent, deliberate effort to understand the roadblocks for your customer and to align and really drive the value for stakeholders at all levels.
I really like the part about the consistency, but also, like you said, it sometimes becomes an anti-pattern where revenue becomes the North Star, and we do need to consistently bring the focus back to building that long-standing relationship with our customers to drive a successful business. But then again, I guess the part, like you mentioned, with many of our listeners at multiple stages of the company, what they would also want to learn about customer orientation is how do we do it individually? And then how do we do it at scale, right? And I think earlier we were talking about this, how it is easier to do it individually. And then as we scale and as we grow to that late stage company, multinational corporation, it's hard to maintain that quality and consistency of the customer experience, a customer orientation program. Personally, what I've seen is that individually, it is a lot about delving into the data, the insights about the customer, and then thinking about the customer's needs as a priority, focusing on customer feedback and looking beyond the purchase, which is, you know, kind of what we talked about, not looking at just the revenue. For me, also for organizations, as we scale, I think it's also democratizing customer data, making that customer data accessible to every business unit within the company, and also linking employee culture to customer outcomes, tying compensation to the customer's consumption, adoption, health metrics. Elena, you have some thoughts on that too?
Well, it's interesting. As I was listening to both of you, I was thinking really a lot of this is such a reflection of the maturing of customer success as a profession, right? So shifting away from product adoption and features and utilization, focusing much more on customer outcomes, strategies, and objectives. So Yovana, how do you translate that at the CSM level?
First of all, great point, Elena. I really agree with you. And I think customer success has matured so much. One of the most important things we see is also that rise in customer-related roles, right? And I think that signals pretty strong outward motion towards the customer. And we're going to talk about it a little bit more, but I think it's a pretty good indication that we're in a much better place comparing to where we were as a function 5, 7, 10 years back, right? Mm-hmm. On a CSM level. I always say that our CSMs, they need to know our customer business better than customers themselves. Of course, what we would like to lead with is a consultative approach. We would like to, you know, make sure that we lead our customers in a nice and gentle and professional way, teaching them, coaching them how to use our products. But we also need to be ready to be prescriptive if that's in a customer best interest. I think what we don't see enough of is actually our CSMs embracing that power of no and really being able to tell our customers in a professional, patient, polite way that they're wrong, because that's really what closest advisors would do. That's how you actually bring value to your customers, by making sure that they're doing the right thing. End of the day, you can have amazing, lovely customer success people. We all are, right? But if they don't support customers to get the value out of your product, customers simply won't stay. So I think it's very important for us to also have that kind of integrity and to make sure that, you know, we're able to really be prescriptive when it's necessary. And then I think the second part, and that's the part JD mentioned, is how to extend that beyond the individual and beyond customer success even. I think we need to look at the customer-facing strategy in any organization, really. And it's really built off of sales, marketing, and customer success. And for this to work, for the strategy to actually drive impact, we need to have them all aligned. And these functions, they need to play the role across the whole customer lifecycle, and everyone needs to carry well-aligned growth and retention goals so that everyone is moving in the same direction. Now, having these cross-functional incentives or OKRs aligned across the teams and across the customer lifecycle is, in my opinion, probably single most important thing that we can put in place to ensure that there's this really company-wide decision-making that will have a customer at the heart of it. Now, the second thing, which is really, it comes on the back of this, is a shared vision of that customer journey. We want to make sure that, for example, marketing efforts, they don't stop at the qualified lead that just get passed on to the sales, and that the sales efforts, they don't stop when they hand over a closed deal to customer success for onboarding, adoption, retention. We want to make sure that there's this holistic 360 customer view that it's shared and accessible to everyone, and that we can coordinate our efforts across the board for the highest possible impact. Sounds great, but I know we all know that it's a notoriously hard thing to do. And we need to ask a lot of questions. We need to understand all the pieces of the journey. We need to also understand the indicators that we can track, that we can trigger to indicate where customer is on the journey and how they're progressing through that journey. What are, it's the right pace. What are they healthy enough? It's a lot of work. And as we said before, I feel like that's the work that is shared across the organization. So through sales, marketing, customer success, product, service, and other department. And it really requires a lot of data rigor and discipline along the way from everyone involved. And once we start tracking that data and customer health, really, in general, we want to make sure that what we have is up to date, that is accurate, that is reliable. Else, we will be really as blind as we were before, just a little bit more relaxed because we think that, you know, the indicators that we are looking at are giving us the sense of comfort. And this is where churn can sneak up and surprise us.
Anyway, no.
Yeah, it's there always, right? So yeah, I just kind of want to close this by saying that I think that this is a hugely important part just to start gathering relevant and accurate customer data as early as possible. And even more importantly, just exposing that data and customer insights to the rest of your organization and also exposing it in a actionable manner so they can do something with it and they can make decision based on it. So much data remains locked in functional silos, which makes it completely useless. So I think moving in that direction where we're actually exposing it, we're building predictions off of it, is really helping us to A, communicate the value of the work we're doing as a customer success, ensure that customer orientation or customer centricity across the board, but also really to enable that, you know, right level of a buy-in and a shared ownership across all levels. What do you guys think about that? Do you have similar experiences in your environments?
Yeah, I think so. So like we talked about, you know, democratizing customer data has been really effective in many organizations that I've been in, right? For us to be able to share that customer data across even just to sales and marketing, like you mentioned, Yovana, gives them that empathy and understanding that this is why we do what we do, and that this is why the customer journey is important, right? Elena, what about you?
Yeah, I think one of the key things that you said for me is around data is really the rigor, and assuring, one, the quality, and two, alignment in terms of interpretation, so that the action plans that come out of that are also aligned across the organization, and not just from a customer relationship perspective, but holistically across the organization in terms of success motions that you put in play, product development that you might make as a consequence.
I love that. Yeah. I really love that. And I think you totally, if you do things this way, if you really bring all of your stakeholders onto that journey and you ensure that there is this like shared responsibility really for customer outcomes, that there's this shared view of the journey, that there's better alignment on playbooks and workflows and how we're going to move the customer in the right direction, I think it changes the selling game as well. It really gives us that ability to come up to a customer and to really say, like, here's a model of how our journey would look like. Here's the value proposition. Here are the outcomes we will deliver to you. It really shows that we're able to articulate the target state, but also all the steps in between, all the action points in how to get the customer from A to B. And I think that creates that sense of simplicity and really confidence from a customer side that we know how to move them in the right direction.
And empathy as well, right? Which goes such a long way towards building that trusted relationship, along with politely and professionally saying no when that's the right thing to do, all of those things together.
absolutely. And everyone is, I think, a little bit happier to commit to it, because with this, we're not really selling the product. We're selling a strategic partnership to
100%.
Our customers. Yeah. Changer. Yeah.
So yeah, I think as we talked about customer success maturing, having a seat at the table is definitely important. I think, Yovana, you had some thoughts around that, which I really appreciate. I do think that having more chief customer officer or CXOs on the board definitely helps to signal a strong outward, inward motion and commit us to those long-term goals around customer orientation instead of that anti-pattern of reverting to revenue as our North Star.
Thank you very much. Some great insights there. Always enjoy a bit of a Friday afternoon hearing from some great success minds. So thank you very much for joining us. So just to recap in terms of customer orientation, some of the key themes that came out of our conversation today, the importance of a shift to everyone in the organization owning the customer and the customer experience, and having KPIs and KPIs tied back to that customer experience. And that supports a shared vision and alignment across both internal and external stakeholders, takes us on a partnership journey with those aligned KPIs and outcomes, again, both internally and externally, as we support our customers in achieving their outcomes. That's ultimately where our organizations are able to achieve our outcomes as well. And then finally, on that last point, it is just super exciting to see the increase in C-level and executive roles with customer or some element of customer in their title, indicating that increasingly our customers have a seat at the table. So that's it for this episode of Success AF. Thank you again for joining us today. And of course, everyone, please do remember to hit subscribe or follow on your favorite podcast platform.